I had mushrooms, a few of them. They are loose in my pocket.
Welcome to One Night in Bangkok.
I'm Sav.
I'm Charlie.
And I'm MJ.
And together, we're bringing you the crazy travel stories from around the world that never made it into the guidebooks.
Cabin crew, prepare for takeoff.
It's time for Ticket to Tell, where we give you a boarding pass to have a shot on the mic. Each week, we'll ask a question and share our favourite answers.
What's your most cringe moment from your first trip overseas?
Hey, Sav, Charlie and MJ. My most cringe moment from my first overseas trip would have to be when me and my mum, who's a little bit wild, went out for a few cheeky drinks. Of course, I was ordering the double blacks because I was 15, 16 and wanted to make the most of it. Mum got a bit carried away and thought on the way home that it'd be a good idea to take her daughter to a ping pong show. Yeah, tried to tip the lady at the end. I think it was equivalent to like 5 cents in Australian money. And she did not have a bar of it. Me and my mum got kicked out. And then back to the hotel we went. My mum woke up the next morning, turned over to me and goes, "Oh my God, boo, I had the weirdest dream last night." And I was like, "Oh, here we fucking go." And then she goes, "I had a dream that we went to a ping pong show." And I was like, "Mum, that wasn't a dream." Part two of this story, my mum and I returned to Thailand many years later. I think I was 21. It was for the Songkran Fest. And she was like, "You have to come, Songkran Fest, Songkran Fest." And she got quite lit. And we were in one of the Quickie Mart convenience stores, in the Quickie Mart stores. And she come up to me and was like, "Oh my God, you look exactly like my daughter. Oh my God, you're even wearing the same top as her. Wait here, I'll go get it." So she literally did a lap of this like 3x3 meter store and comes back to me. I'm standing in the exact same spot just going, "What the actual fuck?" And then she goes, "Oh my God, Mole, you won't believe it. I just saw your twin. She looked exactly like you." Yep. It was me.
No.
At the ripe old age of 19, I headed off to Canada for my working holiday. Took the visa requirements very literally. I got on the plane with $4,000 in cash, rocked up to immigration and flipped it out, ready to go. Proof that I've got the money. Obviously just needed a bank statement. Good one.
So, grab your boarding pass and you too can get involved. Head to our Instagram at One Night in BKK Podcast. Slide into our DMs and send us a voice note of your answer to this question, and you might feature in a future episode. Hello, ladies. Welcome back for another episode. I'm stoked for this one. We're talking about journals and obviously going back to the OG days, episode 3 of Travel and Sex. I've got my journal entry in there, so I clearly love a journal.
Quite clearly.
I definitely wish that I'd been better at journaling because I think there's, you know how the more time that passes, the less you remember. Like there'll always be a couple of stories or like moments that stand out. But yeah, especially those trips that I did when I was 21, like I barely remember them to be honest. Like the only thing I have are photos and then that jogs memories. But I wish I'd done a journal.
Same. I've tried to do a journal a few times when I've been on a trip. And I always give up like day 3 because I'm just so in the moment. I'm not into like tracking down things and, you know, writing things down. And also when I was writing the things down at the end of the day, like trying to do the journal, it was just so boring. It was like, "Today I went here and it was good. Today I went here and a man waved at me and that was nice." Like it was just so boring. Like not even like, I don't even want to read it back. That's how boring it is. I really don't have any in that department.
Yeah, I feel like it's like a bit of a chore at the time, isn't it? And you, yes. Like, you can't be fucked putting it, like, frankly. But yep. Then it's so treasured later on that you're like, "Oh, like, I wish I did do it more like you, Sav."
I actually just remembered that I took this idea from you, Sav, actually, how you had the gratitude journal and you'd write down one thing every day that you were thankful for. So I started doing that. Of course, as I said, I always give up on things, which I have given up on this. Like, I haven't written in it for so long.
Yeah, Sav, you've got some crackers. Actually, I reckon, Sav, can you explain what that 365 book you've got? Because I think a lot of people can take, like, if they want to give it a shot, I think you got a lot out of it. It's a really cool thing to do.
Yeah, so long story short, I don't know why or how I had this, but I had this book from Kiki K, that Australian stationery chain. I had this book. It was actually like a black hardcover bound book, and it is exactly how it sounds. It had 365 pages, and each page was numbered from, you know, 1 to 365 to represent one day of the year. So I don't know what it was designed for or why I bought it, but no joke, I reckon I had it for like maybe 5, 6, 7 years, and I know that because it had my old mobile number in the front, which I haven't had in so long. Like, anyway, so 2019, I was like, nah, I'm going to use this. And I did, and I stuck to it. Every now and then I'd miss a day, but I would just still go back and fill in the page, like, from that time that I missed it. So for me, some people do it in the morning. I prefer to do it in the evening because you're more reflective on what's happened that day and whatever else. So before I went to bed, I would always just write one thing that I was grateful for. And some days it was really hard to think of things, especially if you have a bad day. It's just like, ugh, like, nothing.
But then I dare you have to come up with something. Sav, can I dare you to get the book and open it on a random paper and see what it says?
Yeah, right. Let me get it.
Yes!
A few moments later.
All right. I've got two things. Firstly, I think I was drunk because I can barely read my own writing. But this is what it is. It was day 129. Homemade pizza, ! Shared with Charlie. Mutual moping, comma, capital letters, love her.
Mutual moping.
What were we moping about? I've got no clue. That's all it says.
That was the highlight of the day, that you were mutually moping.
Yeah.
Over a homemade pizza.
I love that.
That's so hopefully cute.
Yeah. Thanks for following through on that, Dare. That's actually quite gutsy. You never know what could have been said on those pages.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And some of them are really cringe because it is hard to think of things sometimes if you're like, have you had a real shit one? So some of them are just super basic. Like, I'm grateful for hot water. Like, some of them are like super, like, I was really clutching at straws those days. And then other times I write the whole page and it's about not necessarily something, but it's someone or whatever. But yeah, it's really fun. And I definitely recommend it. I've tried to do it again this year, but I must admit, I haven't been very good with it. I think there's something about this book. Like, I would recommend get a book that's really nice and that is like 365 pages. It's so much more motivating. Like, I couldn't find one this year. So I ended up just with a random notebook and it just doesn't feel the same.
No. I thought I would share something that I learned from someone traveling, and it's to do with journals, and I started doing it and I think it's really, really cool. So I met this person and what they did was they had a journal, and when they connected with someone really well, they would get them to write a note in their journal for them. But the catch is that it's got to be someone that speaks a different language to you. So you connect with them, you give them the journal, they write a note or a letter to you in their language, and then the rule is the next hostel that you go to when you move to a new destination and you've left that person on your backpacking trip, you have to find someone that speaks that language to be able to translate that note for you, and that's when you get to hear it for the first time. It's a really cool, special thing, and I did it for quite a while, and it was really fun.
That's awesome. I think that's a really good way of like connecting with people.
Yeah, and it was just a cool conversation starter. Like, I mean, it's pretty easy to meet people and talk to people in hostels, but I think when you kind of have that little mission for yourself, it gives you a reason to go up and speak to someone, and you don't know what it's going to say. That's what's also funny. So you've got this random person reading this letter and you have no idea what the contents could be, and it could really like do you over, or it could be really good.
Yeah. I love that. I love that so much, especially for someone like me that can, you know, get a little bit anxious when meeting new people. And so for me, that would be something really good to do whilst traveling, because it does kind of, as you said, you're on that mission. It gives you a reason to go up to someone and speak to them, and kind of takes away a little bit of that anxiety, I think.
Yeah. It's kind of like a capture the flag vibe as well, because, you know, I found myself just wanting to get different languages in there and different, you know, like, I've got Hebrew in there. Like, that's cool.
Oh, wow.
And I found myself wanting to meet more people
from different countries just because I wanted to have the different languages, which is also a really cool social way to get out there and meet other people. So
yeah, absolutely.
Highly recommend. It was really cool.
That's a bit of an amazing race kind of vibe, like trying to find almost like a capture the flag. Oh, that's what you said.
That's exactly what I said, Sam. Yep. Nailed that.
Oh, my goodness.
Would you guys go on the Amazing Race?
No, absolutely not. But I would support your desire to do it.
Because A, I hate getting lost. B, I don't know how to read a map. C, watching the Australians' Amazing Race at the moment, all of the tasks look horrific. Like, they just look so hard. I don't know if I could sit there for hours going through a big pile of sugar trying to find a tiny golden sugar cube. Like, I just don't think I've got the patience for it. I would be
the worst. Why are you such a hard no?
Oh, I haven't watched it extensively, but it just seems so stressful. Like, so I don't like the idea of being constantly under that sort of pressure. It's just, it's not worth it for me. It's a no for me.
Fun fact about me, Sav, you've done an amazing race as well. I was going to say, I did an amazing race in Brisbane with work and I won.
Hey! That doesn't surprise me at all because you always talk about how you want to go on the amazing race and that's your favourite like reality show that you'd like to go on other than like the other ones you've applied for.
Oh!
Busted.
Should we bust open some journals?
Wow. Yes, just so this can be over. Let's do it.
Let's go.
Meet Sagi. He's the host of Would an Idiot Do This podcast. We open his travel journal from his very first trip overseas for a few nostalgic throwbacks. And this is his story. Hello, Sagi. Welcome to One Night in Bangkok.
Greetings. Thanks for having me.
Oh, this is new for us. You have the pleasure of being interviewed by myself and Charlie.
Ooh.
First time for everything.
Two girls, one guest.
So we are talking today about first time travel trips, right? That's what we decided on. And so you're going to tell us, I think you've got a few different things in store for us, but we're going to hear about one of your first time traveling or the first time traveling.
So I've traveled with family before, but this was my first individual trip. So at the time, living in little Detroit Rock City down in Victoria, an hour south of Melbourne, and was working for, I can say it, I don't care, Cash Converters at the time. So living the dream entirely. And it's everything you've ever dreamt of. So basically went into a flight center at the time, just one near my house, walked in and I grabbed a Contiki brochure. I was 22 at the time, looked at the book, was looking through as 100 odd pages back then. And I'm looking at every single tour, considering every single city I can go to, spent far too long looking at it, dog-earing the book, all that jazz. In the end, every time I looked at something, it didn't go to one of the places I went to. So I went all out for the 37-day tour.
So, the dream inquiry.
I'd walk in. I knew the date I wanted to go. I'd already had my leave approved. I was, I'm in. Here you go. July 13. Book me in, please.
Shut up and take my money.
He's like, all right. Well, so we need, we need your flights. And I'm like, yeah, of course. Yeah. He's like, I suggest this. I'm like, yep. All good.
Charlie is sliding off her chair right now. Like, literally, travel agent's dream.
So that was what I was doing. I was 37 days in Europe. It was bookended by a night in Hong Kong on the way over. And then at the end of the trip, my sister, who had done the trip that I was inspired by, said, I'll come over and I'll meet you. So we'll go and go somewhere on a little one-week holiday. So we went. She chose Biarritz in southern France near San Sebastian, basically. So a little beachside resort town. To basically detox. Having done a Contiki herself, I think she knew what would be the right kind of little mini trip for me. So that was the trip in a nutshell.
I hear that you've got a journal from when you went, and if anyone's like listened to our travel and sex episode, you know that I love a journal. So when you said you had a journal, I was like, give it to us fucking now. Like, what have you got in there? Cause I love it. It's like a snapshot in time. So like, give us a little slip.
And now here it is. It is a snapshot in time. So I'll give a little background here. So it was 2005. So aging myself here, I can no longer go on a Kentucky nor would I. But it was literally 2 months after Chappelle Corby was convicted, right, for the drugs thing in Bali. So at the time, like, mum and dad are all like, you know, current affair watching and, you know, make sure you wrap your bag.
Literally, I feel like those people would have been like, ka-ching, when that all went down. They're like, our business is fucking booming.
So on the back of that, so very security conscious parents, make sure you don't get anyone smuggling drugs in your bag, because obviously Chappelle had that happen. She just didn't have a bunch of drugs. But
she had no idea.
Yeah. No. So weird, right? That boogie board just weighed so much all of a sudden. In this little journal that I've found, here's my packing list, because I think this is, like you say, a snapshot in time.
Yes, so love this.
Top of my list, a towel. He's a deep thinker at 22. An adapter, very good. My Kentucky wallet, so my documents, tick. A money belt.
Money belt, wait, money belt. They were big early 2000s/90s. I definitely had a money belt in 2008, I reckon.
They were big. It was worn for one day in Hong Kong and never again, because it drove me fucking nuts. And I was sweating on it.
That's so classic, isn't it? I feel like that's what everyone does. You wear it for one day and you're like, fuck this.
My shit gets stolen so bad. Well, I went from that, right, a money belt, to eventually on the tour, I'm in Rome, and they were telling us all about pickpocketers, obviously, in Rome. So I'd bought a new leather wallet while I was there. So I had the old, like, you know, those Velcro Rip Curl sort of ones, because, you know, I was pretty cool and really stylish. So I had
the spare wallet. Must have been so cool.
I was so cool. So I had the spare wallet, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to sort of hang that half out my pocket, see if someone will steal it while I'm on the train. Didn't happen.
But I guess the wallet's so bad that no one wanted to steal it.
Well, I think they've looked at it and gone, look at that Povo wallet. There's no money in that fucking thing. So
not worth it. Not worth the time and effort.
Not worth it. So, all right. Real, real intelligent. Next one, clothes.
Look, I mean, you do need clothes to go traveling. It's hard to argue with.
I've got shoes, but specifically in brackets, for going out.
Can I ask what shoes are going out shoes for you?
I don't know, mate. Jesus, I guess black, right? Just simple black shoes. But two by books. So two books for 37 days. iPod. There's a snapshot in time. Digital camera. Cash passport.
Another snapshot in time.
Mobile phone. Now, this is the one I wanted to read. So I've got something here and it says Tampa Tell. And I'm like, what the fuck does Tampa Tell mean? So I Googled this. Tampa Tell caps are great for pharmacies as medicines are sensitive. Tampa Tell caps ensure no one has tampered with or used the contents before before using. So now I know what it is, right? So basically, my.
I have so many questions.
That's why I looked it up. I'm like, what does Tampa Tell mean? All right. So Tampa Tell were like these little orange numbered tags, right, that you'd wrap through the zips on your suitcase. And the only way to take them off was to rip it off, which meant you knew your bag had been tampered with. So that's a Tampa Tell.
I can honestly say I've never heard of that before. And
I don't remember it until I looked it up. So anyway, Tampa Tell's on the list.
Surely security would just rip that to shreds. Or I guess maybe that wasn't as stringent back then. They just x-rayed it and moved on.
Well, no. It's not medicine. It's just a tag. That's all it is. Just little, like, I don't even know how to describe it, right? You know, you get a wristband, like when you go somewhere and then you've got to rip it off.
Yeah, I can picture it.
Like a fucking wristband for your suitcase.
Yeah, but my thinking is that wouldn't security, when they scan the baggage and they want to open, they just rip it open, they rip
then
that
I'd
tag.
Be real freaked out, right?
Then you'd be like, oh, it's happened. Mum was right.
I got tampered. And I can tell. I tell somebody. So, Sagi, did you take the temper towel?
I put it on the bag for the first day, right, to Hong Kong. I put it on the bag for the next flight to London the following day. And then I had it on the bag for day one of Kentucky.
So, you're not off to a good start.
I was like, that kid with the orange tape on his suitcase, what a loser.
Hey, it also had an orange ribbon, so I wouldn't lose it. But so, yeah, no, obviously night one in accommodation, everyone just dumps their bags and goes drinking. And I'm like, why the fuck am I worried? Where are they going to go with my shit? We're together for 37 days. So
with your going out shoes, who's going to steal your black going out shoes and take them with?
So, yeah, they didn't last long into the trip. But anyway, that's a tamper towel. The only other thing on here is a list of emails. So it just shows the error that it was.
When we were organizing this thing, you mentioned that you sent yourself emails. Like, what? Like, did you actually send yourself emails? Like, what for? Like,
well, now that I've found the travel journal, I don't quite know why I did that, because I wrote all my thoughts down and then emailed them to myself too. So
maybe you thought the book was in danger of either being lost or tampered with. And there was no tamper towel for the book, so you emailed it to back up.
No, I did. I emailed them to myself and still have them in my very unused Hotmail account today. So I do, and I've got a couple of those, but we'll get to
question.
That. Can I, yes, please. Yeah, go for it.
Can you tell us what your Hotmail email address was? Embarrassing? Tell me it's something embarrassing.
No, it was just nsags@hotmail.com.
Oh, that's not that bad. No, Charlie, what was yours?
Bad. Oh, no, I had a couple. So, okay, these are the top three that stand out for me. I had Carrot Top 1993. I also went through, so the movie Peter Pan came out and Jeremy Sumpter was the actor, and I thought he was so hot. Like, and I made my email address charlie_4_peter_pan. And then to finish it off, I also had Gorgeous Queen, but spelt GORGUZ.
Oh, no. I'm so glad I asked. I knew yours would be good.
What was yours, Sav?
Mine was sav_goes_gur@hotmail.com.
Like a growl? Is that what that is?
Yeah, like grr. I have no idea why, but that's what it was.
Oh, angsty teen vibes. I've got a question for you, Segi. So another thing about Kentucky is they've got this notorious thing called like your day song, like your song that they play on the bus or the coach, I should say, every time you get on. Did they have a day song when you did it? And if so, what was it?
Yes, they did have a day song, Charlie. They had it wasn't a good one, though, I must say. It was A Little Less Conversation, that Elvis Presley remix thing. I don't know
why. No.
Not great.
Did you say a remix of that?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. There was like a dance remix of Little Less Conversation, little more action, whatever. But it was like a remix. It was like sped up and it was with like a dance beat under it. It was awful.
It was a bit weird. But they also do a wake-up song. So ours was that Wham song, Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, which was good fun because that's a real upbeat, fun song. So that was kind of cool to go around and yell at people to wake up who were a bit sleepier. So. Yeah,
37 days is a long time. Do you feel like it, like, because, like, I feel like people already get a bit crazy after 14 days with these wake-up songs and, like, it starts progressing and, like, everyone starts getting a bit fucking weird on the bus. I couldn't imagine what day 37 would look like when that song plays. Do you remember it?
Well, I don't remember the song specifically, but there's some groans, you know, like, oh. You know, you get a lot more of that as you go. But actually, while we're on songs, because I've dog-eared a little page here, because this is the pre-internet era, really, where you'd get on internet cafes for like €1 for 8 minutes or some shit. So in my journal, I've written this. So this was about Florence. I went to a place called Space Electronic, and after another just average dinner, I'm really talking it up here, we went out, which was fun. Danced a lot. There are a couple of songs I've heard over here that are cool. Dance Soria or something. That is Gasolina. Oh my lord.
Dance Soria.
I saw that and I cracked up. I'm like, Dance Soria is what I've written. S-O-R-E-A. Soria. Gasolina. Fucking hell.
Give us more of the journal. I'm living for this journal.
Yeah, what else?
More.
Yeah, give us a random page from it.
A random page from the journal.
Or any page. I love the journals. Like I said, I wish I'd kept one.
All right, cool. I'll just read this page here. So I don't even know what it says. So here we go. We're at the campsite in Venice that evening and proceeded to, with Adam's help, break into the Kentucky food tent to steal cups for our free pour Beam and Coke night. We also stole bread, but no one noticed. Promptly got wasted and chanted the night away and made general jungle noises. Ended up at Ficina Bar at the campsite, off my guts, real classy, and was eventually carried back to my room by Alex and Therese, but not before I made a stop at the ladies' toilets and attempted the art of vomiting. The women's toilets. They got me back to my room and left me where, outside my room, I again attempted to vomit. I didn't and decided to sleep on the concrete footpath, even though the door was 2 meters away. Therese found me there later and forced me to go to bed.
That doesn't stop everyone's Kentucky experience at some point, one of the days. I don't know what does.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I think my highlight of that story was when you said you stole the bread and no one noticed.
No, the jungle noises?
I'm so proud of
it. You've said it so casually. Like, then we made some jungle noises. Wait, what?
Yeah, I don't know. And general jungle noises. Lots of fun.
General? What is a general jungle noise?
I'm not even sure.
I could read the journal all day.
Yeah, same.
It's like a time capsule.
Yeah, but it doesn't age well. All right, so here's my email. It is an email I sent to myself along with a bunch of friends.
You've got mail.
It is titled Gorillas and Big Dicks. So.
I would open that email, like, just out of sheer curiosity.
So here it is. Hi, peoples. In Amsterdam now, having a lot of trouble seeing this screen really good. Alicia got scared of a gorilla with a big dude. So funny. A few mushrooms down for me. The day sheet says 9 a.m. breakfast. Today's sheet says 6:55 depart for sex. Snot check.
Are you okay?
Are you writing emails to your friends while high on mushrooms? Is that what we've established here?
Okay, here we go. So, not really much point to this email. No fucking shit. The red light district is funny. Hey, lots of windows and some big women. Lots of curtains closed too, which is funny. That means business time. Yeehaw. I'm so disappointed in myself. I had mushrooms, a few of them. They are loose in my pocket. I don't think I'm blinking and my legs tingle a bit. Hey. This gets better. I don't know what else to say, but I've got 15 minutes left, so I'll just do whatever comes in my head. Why is the bar closed? I've just been in the red light district and it is allowed. I'm talking to Brooke, who is next to me, typing stoned emails too. Brooke got dragged on stage by a sailor and was confused. Wogger is reading this to make sure it makes sense. I'm sure it does. I wrote it.
He's doing a terrible job. Fire Wogger.
So here we go. Porn shopping tomorrow. They are always buy two, get one free. Bonus. To anyone listening, there used to be in Amsterdam a bunch of DVD stores selling pornos, literally. So that was what I was doing with my day, clearly. Must go now, I guess, because I've got 8 minutes to go, and Brooke wants me to type her parents an email. Oh, my Lord.
I wish we had that.
And this is the final line. Hey, Dad, can you send this to Tina's email? I forgot to save it.
Dad, you sent that to your dad?
No. He must be like, what is he doing?
And then I signed it off, peace and cookies. Hey, Dad. Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my goodness. Now, Saggy, like, on your podcast, you just did a recent episode with a Q&A, and I put in a question about what do you think people are going to be nostalgic for in 40 years to get some answers there, and
I've so thoroughly enjoyed going through this with you because I feel like it's just been like one big happy ball of nostalgic memories. Like it's been such a blast. But we ask our guests the same question at the end of every chat. And I know you're an avid listener, so you knew this was coming. But looking back, what advice do you wish that you could have given to 22-year-old Saggy before going on that trip?
Oh, don't keep a travel journal. That ages so badly. No, look, I wouldn't change anything. So I don't know if I'd give myself different advice. Maybe learn what foundation is before you get on tour.
Thank you so much. So, yeah, tell us about your podcast. Give it to us. Hit us.
Yeah, cool. So the podcast I do is called Would an Idiot Do This? And that's available on all the same stuff as you guys. Basically, cover off a combination of politics, sport, and travel, like you guys in that sense. So that's what we do. I have different guests on each week. There's just me hosting, but everyone else who joins the pod has different topics and different things they want to get off their chest and have a bit of fun with. So that's what we do. And it drops every Tuesday Australian time, unless I drop any little bonus ones when some Republicans give me the shits.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Saggy. Thanks for coming on.
My absolute pleasure. I hope you got some good shit out of that. But
Oh, we sure did. We sure fucking did.
So, Charlie, we've already heard one of your journal entries before. We do know that you tend to fall in love quite frequently overseas or have some romances. So you have another one for us today. Can you tell us where you were for this particular entry?
Yeah, sure. So I was backpacking in Sri Lanka and, oh, like I was just saying before recording, I really hope that Riley doesn't hear this because it's very one-sided and I'm the one with the fucking journal entry, so you decide what side it's on.
No, but I like this because, let's be honest, I think everyone's been in that unrequited love situation. And not even necessarily love, but everyone can at least say they've been more into someone than they were into them. So it's normal. It's totally good. And it's good to see a different side in that case. I'm just excited for another journal entry. I wish you had enough to make a whole podcast out of them.
I know.
Same.
That last journal entry went off, didn't it, ladies?
Yeah, it really did.
I'm not surprised at all because I still remember when you first started reading us your journal and I'm pretty sure in a way that's how this whole podcast started.
Definitely. Yes.
That was the seed that was planted.
Yes. You heard it here first. Anyway, on that note, as I said, Sri Lanka, met a group of boys. It'll all come to fruition when I start reading, so I'll just get started. So this one's also a little bit more recent, which the more recent the entries get, the more cringe I get about it. But anyway, 28th of Jan 2017, and I've titled it En Route, Kandy to Colombo. So currently on a train from Kandy to Colombo, packed in like a fucking sardine, I am sitting in the aisle on top of my backpack, sweating bullets and eyeing off every lucky person that has their bum upon a legitimate seat and can enjoy the outside air grace their cheeks. If I raise my head and look at my surroundings, I am currently surrounded by five men's and one woman's ass.
Flattering.
I like that you've made a distinction like it matters. But
yeah. And to my right, one penis, and I am 99% sure that he is reading as I write, which makes things even more awkward.
Oh, my God.
And we have probably 4 hours to go. He is hoping for a seat.
I'm hoping for you.
So, ... Why the fuck am I writing in here now when I never write in here? ? To be fair, it's because I have nothing else to do. ... I have read all of my books, left my headphones at home. ... Today on my third last day of the trip, I realised that I can download files from Netflix and watch offline. ...
Ooh.
That would have been quite new back then. This is 4 years ago. You say it's recent, but 4 years is a long time. That would have been like cutting edge technology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. This won't be happening. What does
does that mean?
You won't be doing that?
Netflix?
Yeah, I think so, because I left my headphones at home.
Yeah, this won't be happening.
It's going to be so fucking cool when I'm like 60 and rereading this. I'll probably laugh at the fact that I was so excited that I could download Netflix offline, because you can probably now play a movie in your own fucking head. ... Ha ha. Imagine, hey? Well, I guess I do this all the time anyway. It's called daydreaming.
Oh my god.
Wow. I love awful. That you make lame dad jokes in your own journal. Like, no one's even reading this.
It's for 6-year-old me, right? Did you not hear?
Yeah. I think, look, you've cracked this time capsule a bit early, but that's fine. We'll roll with it.
Anyways, there are two things that I have been wanting to note down in here before the end of the trip, and I suppose now is the perfect opportunity. What were the two things? The first, a boy, brackets. I mean, isn't that all I really write about in here? However, this one is different.
Sure. I'm pretty sure they're all different.
Yeah. And the second, my goals for 2017, so that I can hold myself accountable.
Nice.
That will be interesting for us to reflect back and see. Anyways, firstly, the boy. The boy's name is Riley Dovington from St Kilda, Melbourne. Despite that he's from Melbourne and always has been, it took travelling all the way to Hikkaduwa, Sri Lanka to meet him. I remember walking into our hostel in Hikkaduwa and seeing a group of all attractive boys, brackets, lol, sorry, Riley, if I ever man up and show you this, brackets, what the fuck?
Have you ever shown this to Riley?
No. No, I in my head, honestly, I'll tell you what was going through my head. In my head, I thought we were going to get married and I would eventually show him this journal entry. It comes out a little bit anyway. So, like, I thought it would be a cute moment to, like, write down anyway. So cringed. Seeing a group of all attractive boys sitting outside smoking rollies, brackets, more bonus points.
You are easily impressed at this point. You're like, they smoke rollies, score.
Wait, the next line I can't even with myself. And then I thought, damn, boys.
Damn,
boys.
Turns out Mama, the hostel host, had overbooked, and she said very loudly, referring to Jake, who was my friend I was travelling with at the time, and I, you and your husband can share this single bed. I was mortified that Mama was basically cock blocking me. I replied just as loudly, he is not my husband and we need separate beds, poor Jake. He had to move to an even dodgier hostel down the road and I stayed at the Beach Monkey. While all of this was going on, I could hear from inside that all the boys had Australian accents and I remember thinking, fuck yeah! Again, too easily impressed.
It doesn't take much. I'm concerned at this point.
You're I know.
Pretty, like, you could find these boys in Melbourne just any day of the week.
This sentence, it actually has more I didn't realise. I remember thinking, fuck yeah, just me and all these hotties from Oz. Great outcome. Ha ha.
And at this point, you've made Jake go down to the other hostel.
Yep, so Jake's gone to the other hostel. This was a tiny, like, bed and breakfast hostel, so it was literally, like, me and the Aussie boys, and that was it that could fit there. So it was, like, me with all the boys, sent Jake down the road.
Living your best life.
I do not have a husband. I took myself outside to join the boys and had a dart. There was this one boy that lured me in more than most, and that was Riley.
Are you going to explain how Riley lured you in? I hope so.
I think that's what comes. Oh. Yeah, it is. I've just turned the page. His eyes, smile, laugh, singing, dance moves. Stop. I can't. This next bit, I can't. And the way he would fist pump and say pow or boom. What?
Like, he would go pow. Like, boom. What can you give me? Can you give us like a retake of an interpretation of what he sounded like when he
this
did that?
This guy sounds like the biggest wanker. I can't even deal. Like, what are you doing?
I know. I on purpose haven't read this in a while, so it would be fresh for me doing this too. So I'm just as mortified as you guys, to be honest. Yeah, he would just fist palm the air and say, pow, boom, like when someone made a joke or something.
Oh, my God.
I'm speechless. Keep going. I've got nothing.
I mean, to be fair, everything about him made me smile. There was already such a large initial attraction. However, the more Riley spoke and the more that I learnt about him, the more time I wanted to be by his side. I wanted to know everything that there is to know about him. I felt a very strong and instant connection. I'm not going to go on in detail about the next 3 nights that we spent together. What I will say, though, is that I have always thought to myself, I wonder what the person that I end up with for life is doing right now.
Oh, I think that's sweet. Just not about Riley. I don't want the guy that you end up with to be like, pow.
Anyway,
oh, no.
I feel nervous and somewhat silly even writing this. However, I think I do know what he's doing right now. He's in St. Kilda, Victoria, awaiting for me to get home, counting the sleeps, as am I, in Hikkaduwa.
Oh, my God. I can't right now. This is too much.
I know. In Hikkaduwa, I had this crazy and overwhelming feeling and thought that I have never had before. I caught myself laying in Riley's arms after a magical 3 nights thinking, I wonder if this is a story I will tell when I'm older about how I met my soulmate. I know. Jesus. We're nearly there, girls. We're nearly there.
I have so many questions. Go, please go on.
I mean, who knows? Maybe I am wrong and maybe nothing eventuates. However, I feel so strongly about this that I wanted to write it down to show Riley one day. 100% not now. Ha ha ha. Imagine he'd be like, whoa, obsessed creepy gal from Melbs.
I think he'd still be like that if I'm being honest, Charlie.
Same. That's why I said at the start of this, I don't want Riley to hear this. I think it's becoming more prevalent now and why I said that. In good time, I'll make my choice and here's hoping you are, brackets, Riley, by my side. Sincerely, Charlie in last, brackets, lol, lame. I think the Charlie in last bit was the least lame part about that whole...
I think that's one of my favourite bits. I think
same.
Because one of my questions was going to be, like, to me, when you read these entries, you just sound like someone, like, in the throes of, like, that hot lust initial stage, right? You don't actually think it's love, right? Or do you?
Well, I think you get clouded by lust, right? But I feel like this evidence in this journal, this sign-off, shows that I do have my wits about me. I know for sure it's lust. But prior to that, in the journal entry, I think I'm a little bit lost and I think, well, I'm talking about marriage, life, telling this story again to potential children, I guess. Like, what the hell is that about?
I feel like you're that meme where someone's on the bottom step, but then they skip all the steps straight to the top one. And you're like, the bottom step's like, meet a guy traveling top. And then you just skip straight to the love of my life. Like, get married. There's nothing in between.
So obviously I had my 2017 goals, but CBF doing that, I've got a much better part of this story that coincides with their little trip that I would love to tell you ladies, if that's fine.
Yeah, please. Absolutely. I do want to know with Riley, before we close that chapter slightly, did you guys continue seeing each other when you got back to Australia as he was essentially, you were hoping he was waiting for you?
He came to my house for a house party with the boys.
When? Like, was that closely afterwards or?
Like a month or two after? No, it definitely fizzled out. It 100% fizzled out. However, what I will say is we still probably message each other like every 6 months and he's always like, hey, doing? Hope you're well. Like, we made a good connection, but it was no further than just a friendship level. That's for certain.
Does he listen to the podcast?
I'm not sure yet. Riley.
You're about to find out.
Riley, yeah. Riley. If you hear this, Riley, send me a DM right now. No, just so that I know, not for any other purpose.
Yeah, yeah.
Riley's in a happy relationship from my understanding.
Do you know what? We're laughing, but I reckon if I heard a journal entry like this about me, I'd be stoked. How nice.
Yeah, I'd be flattered.
It's like, obviously it's like a few years ago, nothing eventuated, but like, yeah, I think it's really sweet. I'd be flattered.
Yeah, I think so too. Good point. This is going to take a bit of an odd turn, but anyway, I couldn't not tell this story without having this involved because it's just so funny. So obviously there was that group of Aussie boys and there was like four of them and then there was me and Jake as well, I guess. He was down the road and we all went out.
Oh, Jake.
I know. We all went out. Actually, I think these two girls were staying with us as well. I can't remember, but we all went out to a club or whatever, a bar, got drunk, as you do, whatever. Everyone comes home. One of the Aussie boys, I think she was staying with us, and he ended up like hooking up with her at the club. Then they ended up coming back and like we all start like jumping in each other's bunk beds and stuff. Like obviously all the good stuff starts happening. Anyway, this chick was beautiful. She was so lovely. Everyone loved her. She was just such a charm to have in the hostel. And everyone was saying to this guy that picked her up and was like, oh man, like what a catch. Like she's so lovely. She's so awesome. Everyone just had so many nice things to say. And I remember waking up on the morning of like the last day that I had to check out. And that was the night where I remember I was laying in Riley's arms and from the journal entry. And we all woke up feeling a bit seedy. It's probably like 8 a.m., 9 a.m. And one of the other boys pipes up and he's like, do you reckon it smells like shit in here? And we're like, what do you mean? And then we're like, oh, it does. It stinks so bad in here. And everyone's like, what the hell is going on? Anyway, someone gets up to go make a coffee in like the kitchen. There is a human shit in the middle of the kitchen floor.
Whoa.
Legit.
Whoa.
And well, it could have been anyone and no one was admitting to it, but that girl had checked out. She was supposed to stay another night and she checked out before anyone woke up. And she was this angel that we put on the pedestal that everyone loved. And turns out
she shat in the kitchen.
Yeah, she shit on the kitchen floor and then left.
No, come on. Wouldn't you just clean it up if you knew that you'd done that?
No, apparently she was like, I wasn't going to mention this either, but apparently she like vomited in all of her sheets and then chucked them in the shower. Like she turned into like a very different person to what we knew. So we found all of these sheets covered in vomit from her bed in the only shower in the hostel. And yeah, she was just packed up and gone. And so like we put two and two together. We're like, clearly she was not okay. And she's clearly vomited everywhere and she's tried to hide it. I don't know why you'd put it in the shower and then obviously shit on the kitchen floor and just left.
No. I think what happened is the other way around. I think she got home from a night out, thought she was using the bathroom, but accidentally shat on the kitchen floor. And then she was obviously so wasted, she ended up vomiting in her sleep, woke up and just freaked out.
Yeah, maybe.
And just like checked out.
Maybe she didn't even know she shit on the floor.
Maybe it wasn't her. Maybe it was Riley.
We did have this conversation. It was kind of like a murder mystery. It was like, who shit on the floor? Like, what were you doing last night at 5 a.m.?
What did you eat?
This smells like curry.
It was awful. But yeah, I couldn't that one slide, to be honest. I had to sneak that in there because it's just such a funny memory of mine.
Yeah, not the greatest sales pitch for a hostel, but I'll take it.
So, Charlie, looking back, do you have any advice for yourself in this situation with Riley?
Nah.
I don't have any advice for you.
My only advice would be kind of what you said earlier, Sav, is that, and it's not about Riley specifically, but just that I wish I wrote more because I love doing this.
Preparing flight BKK 420 for landing. Fasten your seatbelts. You're in for a recap.
Okay, we're back. I think my favourite part of our interview with Sagi was definitely, well, one of the favourite parts, the email addresses.
Yes.
I find asking people's emails so funny because they're always horrendous. So obviously everyone knows mine and Charlie's, but MJ, what was your first email address?
Oh, I have no idea what my first one was. I had so many. I don't know why I ended up having – well, I do know why I ended up having so many. I ended up having like 22 different ones because I kept forgetting what my passwords were. And I just made a new email.
So stressful.
You've got no idea. It was so stressful.
Don't you reckon like the bliss of like being a child when you actually don't require the email address so you can just keep changing it because like what is it actually for?
I'm like, I just need this for MSN Messenger so I can do a chat online with my friends after school. I'd always sign in with like, it's like every day I'd forget my password and it's like, just write it down. But anyway, so I'll rattle off a few.
Please.
I do remember having princessbinka at hotmail.com. I had Binka. Yeah, to this day, I don't know where Binka kind of came from. I'm not too sure. I think when I was younger, instead of saying bitch, I used to call people binkers. I think. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, so I think you mean bitch.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it meant. No. So I only really remember that one. I remember I had one that was like, Tinkerbell is gorgeous or something like that at hotmail.com, something horrendous like that. But my most used one, the one that I didn't forget the password for and that I still have now, I don't use it by any means because I can't use this because it's so embarrassing. I've got proper email address now. But it was queen_of_da_binkers@hotmail.com.
wait. No. I have to say this. I love that you upgraded yourself from princess to queen.
And you know what? It was so funny because I knew that I had the princess Binka first and then I couldn't remember the password for that. And then that's when I actually did make the queen of Da Binkers, which was literally after that. And it was literally, it wasn't even like probably 24 hours apart when I did that. So it was a quick upgrade from princess to queen.
I think, Sav, you saying the word da, like just then, it's so funny. Like that's why like I love these journal entries because like I think we say it like it's a snapshot in time, like it's a time capsule. And that word da, like is an exact example of that.
I remember on like MSN Messenger, one of my friends that I used to chat with on there, this is how extreme people used to, like extreme lengths of people would go to. She used to, because you can change your font and all that kind of stuff, and hers was like this fluoro pink color, and she would type everything in like lowercase and then she'd do some letters in big capitals and like instead of saying like you she'd say yeah but like with a little y and then a massive a and then like three h's with one big one and like a few little ones and like oh it was just everything that she was typing and like beautiful was not beautiful it was beautiful like b-double-o-t-i-f-u-l
oh.
I remember like
I hope she's okay
it would just be so difficult. She is okay. Someone should check on her. No, she's more than okay, guys. She's just had a baby and all.
Oh, beautiful.
Yes.
Da baby.
Beautiful da baby. Do you remember though the like you reminded me, yeah, that uppercase, lowercase, like people would do that? Yeah. Like why?
And all the like all the emojis and stuff that you could do and how you used to be able to like nudge people and it would shake their whole screen like when you wanted to get someone's attention and like if you were trying to piss someone off you just keep doing it and then you'd get blocked from them.
I nudge you guys in chat sometimes but like you can't obviously nudge but I've definitely been one to send in like asterisks, capitals, nudge asterisks like I'm sending a nudge.
No, sometimes you literally just write the word nudge. Like if I haven't responded in the amount of time that you deem reasonable, you just say, no, but where are you? Nudge.
Yeah. Are you okay? Have you fallen off the face of the
nudge.
Universe?
Nudge. Nudge. Like, it's quite rude. So my mum's born in 1969. And her email address is first name, last name 69@bigbond.com. I'm like, you understand that looks like a joke. Like, no one's actually going to know, like, you're born in 69. Like, my, like, so bad.
Ish.
Love your mum. MJ, what else did you take away from Segi's chat?
I really enjoyed when he speaks about sending those emails to his friends and family whilst he's on holiday. It really brought back a lot of memories for me because I remember when I was quite young, I'd go on family trips and there wasn't really such a thing as Wi-Fi at that time. Like, you'd actually have to go to like an internet cafe, as he's saying, and like sit down, you had to pay for an hour and you're like trying to speak to everyone in that short amount of time. And it just brought back a lot of memories for me. And just that time, like, it was such a weird time in comparison to what we have now. And I just feel, yeah, I felt very nostalgic when I listened back to that.
Do you know what actually reminds me of the internet cafe thing? I also remember like my first trip overseas, like solo when I was 18, and you had the, I don't know if you guys even remember these, but we didn't have mobile phones, so you had the phone cards. So you'd go to like a newsagent or a deli, buy the phone card, and that would give you like credit to use on a payphone to call home. So like you have to pick one for your country, like Australia or whatever, and then you'd dial the number on the card, and then like that would take you through to a place where you can then dial the number. So yeah,
I've never heard of.
I don't know. Same.
I've never
vibe.
Heard of that.
Nah, either. I'm a bit older than you. I'm aging myself, but.
Yeah. We didn't even try to hide that. Never heard of that one.
Yeah. But that was quite common. That's how you called home. You had to go buy a phone card and dial it from there. And it would have like limited number of minutes and whatever.
Yeah, crazy.
There you go. Nostalgia.
Crazy, crazy. I just think it's so funny. Like, how crazy was it that it was already so funny, that email, but then when he signs it off like and you find out it's to his dad, you're like, what the hell? Like, why would you send that to your dad?
I was cracking up at that. And you know what? Something that I would probably do, and I think that's probably why I resonate so good with it, is because I think that something's really good in the moment, and the next day when I come down off that high, I am mortified with myself.
Yeah.
I always have a habit of messaging the wrong people as well when I'm meant to be messaging other people.
Yeah. You messaged someone at work for 2 grams of weed last week.
And the worker is not a dealer. But the thing is, Charlie, I've also in the past messaged your mum for weed.
Yeah, you have.
And by accident.
The worst part, and then my mum's like, I don't think this was meant for me. No, but the worst part was is that when you messaged the dealer, you were like, hey, Charlie gave me your number, so just want to know if I can pick up some weed. And the worst part is, so my mum obviously knew that I gave you the number.
It was so bad. And the thing was, because I messaged her twice. It wasn't just once. It happened twice. I messaged the first time saying, hey, can I pick up 2 Gs? And then she responded saying, what? And I was like, oh, this deal is weird. Like, they don't know what they're saying. Like, I don't understand. I'm just like, I'm just not going to reply to this. I'm like, I got on with someone else anyway. Like, I don't care, whatever. The second time was when I was like, I didn't really get a really good response last time. I'll be a bit more specific about what I want, who I got the number from. Like, because sometimes dealers get a bit weird. They're like, where'd you get my number? Are you a policeman? Yeah, like, yeah. What's going on?
Fair. I'd be a paranoid dealer if I was one.
Yeah, same. But yeah, so definitely laid out all my cards on the table, told her who I was, told her where I got the number from, told her what I actually wanted, spelt it out. And then she was like, this is not for me. And then I turned around and said, oh, no, I didn't even, I'm not buying that for me. It's for somebody else. It's like, it was clearly for you. Like, just own it.
The worst one, it's not the worst, but definitely like earlier days, I was only like 18 and I was listening to the radio on the way to uni and they were like giving out tickets to go to like the comedy festival in Melbourne. And I had a boyfriend at the time and I was trying to win the tickets for us and I sent him a message. Well, I thought it was to him, but I obviously sent it to my mum and the message was like, hey, I'm just trying to get us 2 tickets to the comedy festival. I think it would be really fun. We should go and smoke a joint and then, like, go to the comedy festival together. It'll be so funny. She wrote back. She's like, it sounds good, but I'm pretty sure you don't want to do that with me. I was like, ooh, wrong person.
Oh, God.
Oh, that was a nice wrap, ladies.
Good ep this week. Good stories. Good guests.
Yeah. See you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of One Night in Bangkok. If you have a crazy travel story, tell us about it. You can send us an email, tellus@onenightinbkk.com, or hit us up on Instagram @onenightinbkkpodcast.
This podcast was born from our shared love of travel and everything it adds to our lives.
Until next time, we'll leave you with a snippet of how travel has changed you.
makes me feel alive. That's the main thing. It's just when I go somewhere and I wake up in the morning, if it's 5 o'clock, I don't care. If it's 4 o'clock, I don't care. And even if I don't have to sleep, I don't care, because I am so excited for the adventure I'm going to have.